Hello and welcome to the Panorama podcast from the World Business Council for Sustainable Development. My name is Shane Griffin. On this podcast, we sit down with the world's key players in sustainability and look at the action being taken to tackle global challenges. Today, we speak with sustainability leaders at some of the world's biggest brands, PwC, Whirlpool, Hitachi, Bayer, and IFF. Together, we look closely into sustainability at these companies. Why have they committed to sustainability? How do they do it, and what does the future hold for this area? Stick around. Thank you for joining us today on Panorama. Though the urgency of sustainability is increasingly evident through events such as the extreme weather we have seen across the globe over the past year, much of this area remains very theoretical. Even the UN Sustainable Development Goals, the ambitious framework and North Star for Sustainable Action, envisage how the world will look in 2030, while many people and businesses find it hard to look beyond today. As a result, it can be difficult to identify what sustainability will really mean. How will it affect and improve a business day to day? To colour in these details and give an idea of where sustainability fits in at a successful multinational company, I'm joined today by five global business leaders working in sustainability. Each of our guests is taking part in this year's WBCSD Leadership Programme. The Leadership Programme partners WBCSD with Yale University to provide participants with insights and tools to take cutting-edge sustainability practices back to their home companies. While the programme has traditionally been open only to WBCSD member companies, 2019 will mark the first year that a number of places are open to non-member participants. To get an understanding of why sustainability teams exist at these companies in the first place, I began by asking participants why their companies have committed to sustainable development. Is it a case of giving back and being responsible, or are there deeper considerations? Lisa Van Bladeren is Sustainability Project Engineer at Whirlpool Corporation.
I think, you know, in our day and age, sustainability is important just at its core, but also it's strategic. It's for Whirlpool, you know, it's a strategic initiative, but it's also a deliberate decision because our products enter homes in a pretty intimate way. And so we believe that we have a huge opportunity to enable a more sustainable yet non-disruptive lifestyle. And we know that it's important to stay relevant within the communities where we operate and also in the eyes of the consumers that we serve on a daily basis.
At International Flavors and Fragrances, or IFF, changing consumer behavior is also a key driver. Riley Smith, Corporate Communications Coordinator, explains.
Something specifically that's being further developed at IFF on both sides of our business, so flavors and fragrances, is consumer demand for clean label fragrances. They want to know exactly what's in the product that they're using. And so we actually developed the first cradle-to-cradle certified fragrance. It's called Pura Vida on our fragrances side. And then on the flavor side, you're seeing a huge push for health and wellness, so better for you flavors. Everyone wants to see Fair for Life or non-GMO, organic certified on the label or the package of the food we're eating, and our flavors play a part in the food that ends up being sold to consumers by our customers. So that's really a big push on both sides of our business that we're seeing.
As well as consumer demand, the ability to attract the next generation of talent is a key driver for sustainability at PwC. Aina Fukuda is Sustainability Services Manager at PwC in Tokyo.
I think another key word we've been hearing a lot associated with those issues is the millennial generation. So being a consumer-facing company, I think it's really vital that you're addressing these issues because consumers are going to be buying your products for your brand and your thinking, not just the quality of your products. For us, I think it's a lot about getting the right talent. So if we're active in these areas, it helps us attract and retain our talent.
Even for companies that aren't consumer-facing, consumer trends and consumer demands can have a big impact. Though Bayer, one of the world's largest life sciences companies, is often the first step on the value chain, providing the seeds to growers that ultimately becomes the food that consumers eat, the changing attitudes of society have deeply influenced the organization. This is also the case at Japan's Hitachi. Bayer's Thomas Zabarowski and then Mayumi Hirakawa of Hitachi explain.
I would say that it's not only about the consumer action and how that shapes what we do, but actually how the society as a whole ask for more in terms of trust, in terms of transparency. We have many examples of how much more transparent we want to be with our, with the society. And that's what I've been seeing, that there has been not a shift, because society has always been involved, but I think that there is far much more commitment from the society as a whole to be for companies to be asked to be more trustful and more transparent.
Most of our customers are not like regular customers, like B2C business, because ours is more like B2B or B2S, which means society. So it's not like P&G or Unilever, but many people do see how corporate acts and reacts to whatever happens.
Keeping pace with societal trends and winning the war for talent are two of the most powerful drivers for corporate engagement with sustainable development. But where is leadership on the issue coming from within these companies? Is it top down from the CEO, bottom up from employees, or even coming from shareholders or investors? Lisa Van Bladeren of Whirlpool.
I think all of the above. I think foremost, it's our diverse stakeholder landscape. So it's coming at all angles to us. But also, since I've been at Whirlpool, we've had a change in CEOs. And so I think that has given us a little bit of a fresh lens. He's very much on board with what we're looking to drive. And that's a great fresh perspective for us.
At Bayer, it also starts at the top.
I think that it's embedded in our culture and in our values. I think that it's top-down is where we start. We have very high commitments from our top management, and then you drive with different initiatives and different aspects in the whole organization. For example, we have a sustainability community, we have different initiatives. We have been working for a long time in different examples at the Food Chain Partnership. So Bayer has always been a step forward in trying to put different initiatives in place to be sustainable. Sustainability is part of what we do in our company.
WBCSD's president and CEO, Peter Backer, often uses a graphic in keynote speeches to business, which details the evolution of business and sustainability. This relationship began decades ago with simple philanthropy and more recently evolved into corporate social responsibility, or CSR. With the advent of frameworks such as the Sustainable Development Goals and the Paris Agreement, sustainability has become far more strategic, and the concept of viewing sustainability as part of outreach or in terms of just responsibility now seems a little dated. Embedding sustainability into corporate strategy, as well as integrated governance, are now seen as the new benchmarks. How has this played out in practice at leading companies? Mayumi Hirakawa of Hitachi.
Well, I've been with the company for a little bit more than 10 years. Then, like, I was doing like community engagement and CSR. Then now my division is sustainability. So when I was doing, let's say, like CSR, like many people in the company asked me, oh, like you are doing donation? You are like planting trees or like picking up a garbage on the beach? I'm like, no, CSR is not about that kind of things. Now they see more the SDGs, investment, and there are more rules from the UN. So they see more stronger connection to like companies' responsibility and social expectation and profit as well.
For many companies like Bayer, the agreement of the SDGs in 2015 has proven to be a game changer.
For what I've been seeing since I entered the company, I think that the SDGs have also ramped up many of the things that Bayer has already been doing, but it gave us a way of organizing and being able to get different commitments, our stronger commitment with a clearer view. So I think that there has been an involvement, and I think that this it's a trend that it won't stop, that it will keep on going.
At Whirlpool, frameworks like the SDGs have helped sustainability efforts at the company to become more targeted.
Yeah, so we have quite a few. I think at the forefront is the product side. So sustainability, the home appliances with efficiency being at the center, but also, you know, we're diving deeper into more creative ways. The greatest contributor of our products to climate change happens in the use phase. So it's really important for us to target the home appliance itself. so our product line globally, but also processes. It's a great opportunity for us to target our manufacturing plants across the world. And then, you know, we have quite a large global footprint, so naturally that births a pretty diverse portfolio of localized social sustainability initiatives. So, you know, we work across the globe on a very local scale for us to drive some of those social initiatives.
Even at leading sustainable companies, performance can be improved. How are they going about doing this?
So I think engagement, first and foremost, we're trying to engage more internally so we can have sustainability messaging coming from other business units, both internally and externally. So pushing that out to our customers, we can be more client facing. But also, like I said, for us, it's still a challenge to embed sustainability across the entire corporation. And that's one of our big moves this year, I think, is to really prioritize how we can do that. It's important for us to get sustainability into procurement, into HR, into investor relations, and, you know, in all aspects of our company. And like I said, we're really starting to see encouraging questions being asked, but we want to go down that path further. And so I think that's where we have some more work to do.
For many companies, embedding sustainability means truly getting staff on board. It's all very good having an ambitious program from the CEO, but if lower-level management don't buy in and simply view sustainability as another task on their to-do list, it can be difficult for sustainability to go far. How have these companies achieved buy-in from staff across the organization? Riley Smith at IFF.
We actually have what are called green teams at every one of our manufacturing sites. And this is volunteer-based, so we don't force anyone to be a part of the green team, but their managers will agree to allow them a certain amount of hours to actually go and implement the eco-effectiveness projects that are thought of and thought out by our sustainability team. And so that's kind of how we're able to roll out new initiatives globally to help us meet our targets environmentally and engage in socially responsible projects and things like that.
It also comes down to communication.
I kind of saw a disconnect in our general employee population and maybe the senior management or those who were more informed about sustainability. So something we've been working on is really streamlining those communications. One thing specifically we're trying to do from a communications perspective is integrate a lot of our communications around sustainability into like our internal employee newsletter and quarterly communications. So that's something we're really working on to raise awareness internally about the good things that we're doing and how people can get involved, and beyond just being involved in a green team, but how can you live a more sustainable lifestyle?
For PwC, regular engagement and communication with employees is also essential.
I think the people who work at PwC Japan need to know why sustainability is important for business and why it's not something that's an add-on to our business, but it's really central. So I think first step is to get everyone on board.
So looking forward and going back to Peter Bracker's evolution of business and sustainability narrative, what are the next steps to deliver sustainability and unlock the opportunities that this provides? Riley Smith again at IFF.
Well, I'm happy to say that we recently surpassed 3 of our 4 2020 environmental goals, our intensity goals. So now we're kind of reevaluating how can we set new science-based targets. We just submitted them, so hoping those will get approved soon. So environmentally, those are kind of the next steps in terms of targets. And then beyond that, I think having myself join the leadership program and my colleague Uma, who was in the leadership program last year, is really finding kind of our place in the greater sustainability realm, like through the WBCSD, through initiatives outside of IFF, because I think we've done a pretty good job so far with our internal initiatives, but how can we really make a positive difference beyond that? So working more on our responsible sourcing and our social initiatives, and how can we have a positive like value add in local communities and really in just if our environmental footprint, our global footprint, consumer awareness, really working on these kind of external initiatives that can make a difference beyond just our manufacturing sites or just our employees.
Buyers, Thomas Zaborowski.
Sustainability and the food system where buyer is involved today is not going on a sustainable trajectory. From a production point of view, we're not making enough use of the land. There is too much fertilizers, there is too much use of the inputs that we have, and we have to make that more sustainable. I think that innovation will be driving many of the sustainability aspects to cope with the goals and objectives that we have for the future. So I think that involving more innovation on our R&D pipeline and future products, I think that that would be the way on improving and the next step on sustainability.
For Mayumi Hirakawa of Hitachi, it again goes back to expanding the profile of sustainability.
We have to raise more awareness of sustainability among the companies. So maybe CEO understands how important it is. But usually I deal with regular employees. So we have to do like educational things in different layers. And also like I don't want the term sustainability to be just buzzword.
Ina Fukuda.
I think as PwC, the area where we could have the most impact is responsible business. So through our service offerings to our clients, if we can support their journey in becoming more sustainable, I think that's where we can have the most impact.
And finally, at Whirlpool, understanding and leading on social trends is central to where sustainability efforts will go.
I think for me, the concept around the future of work is really fascinating, both you know, personally, but also professionally. And then, you know, we're engaged in the Sustainable Lifestyles Initiative. So that one is really interesting to see kind of the work that we've done thus far, but also the direction that it's going in the future.
Many thanks for joining us for today's Panorama podcast. Nominations for the 2019 Leadership Programme are open until the 12th of November. For more information, visit wbcsd.org/education. And don't forget to subscribe and rate the Panorama podcast on iTunes. We look forward to you joining us again next time.